Just want to ask, first of all, if we could just pray for a moment for Father Tom, who is mourning the loss of his mother, and for his family, for their consolation. Father Tom is surely even now his wonderful, cheerful, smiling, hugging, warm self. He needs your prayers. It's never easy to lose a mother. So let's just pray for him for a moment in silence. Lord, be with Father Tom in this difficult time. Be his consolation, be his strength, be his hope. And let us pray also for Father Tom's mother. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And if I could keep you praying for just a moment, if you pray for me, we have a whole lot of gospel today, and I can't talk about all of it, so if you just pray that I focus on the parts that the Lord wants me to focus on, and I'll pray that you hear what he wants you to hear. And let us entrust our prayers and each other to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We heard, I feel like it's a second sermon. Deacon Gary preached that sermon, you know, on the Mount. And now I get to preach another sermon on the sermon. And that we only got a little piece of the Sermon on the Mount. It went on for a long time. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is all more preaching from Jesus. It's beautiful, worth reading. We've already taken, this is the third week in a row where we're focusing on that. There's so much there. I want to say one word real quick. It's not part of my homily. Just put this to the side. When Jesus talks about divorce and remarriage and adultery, and we had all of this stir over the last 3 years about synod on marriage, and Pope Francis came out with a beautiful teaching on marriage called The Joy of Love. Read it. Beautiful. So many beautiful insights. I spent 5 hours with Bishop Gregory Mansour, Maronite bishop in Brooklyn, recording conversations about Pope Francis's teaching on marriage. Just beautiful. Now, you might also, if you're tuned into Catholic trivia, be aware that there's a little bit of controversy over footnote 351, part of paragraph 301. You can just breeze right past that. If you don't want to get involved in that conflict and the discussion, which really doesn't concern basically any of us, but there's a lot of energy that's being wasted there. But it takes it's really the enemy's way of taking our attention away from a beautiful document. Beautiful, really. Buy it, it's very readable. Reflect on it, read it with your families, read it between families. Fantastic. What I do want to focus on, two pieces. One is, essentially what we heard in the gospel today is that Jesus recognizes we are complicated. We are complicated. There are things going on inside, and there are things going on outside. It's good that you haven't killed anyone. But Jesus says, just because you haven't killed anyone doesn't mean that there isn't something going on inside that needs some conversion. It's good that you haven't committed adultery. Just because you haven't done it on the outside doesn't mean that there isn't something inside that needs conversion. So we can say something very simple. Our feelings and our thoughts and our actions can be different. I can feel one thing, think another thing, and do another thing. Complicated. We're complicated. Furthermore, Jesus says we can do one thing in one place and a different thing in another place. Just like I can maybe be hating somebody and smiling at him. That's the internal-external disconnect. I can be doing something here in church and something contradictory out in the world. And that's why Jesus says, if you come into church and it occurs to you that you have something against your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, reconcile with your brother, and then come back to church. And so he's telling us that what we do here needs to be coherent with, consistent with, what we do out there. This has something to do with life. Our worship, the gifts that we offer, and the gift of Jesus that we receive has something to do with our lives. Now, I could generalize this one more step, and I could say, I'll bet that you can sometimes be really nice to a stranger, maybe really nice to a colleague, really nice to your boss, and really nasty to your spouse. Just one right after the other. Complicated. We're complicated. Why do we do this? Why can't we be good all through? And Jesus says, you can be good all through. Inside, outside, here, there, everywhere. That's what we're made for. And that's what God's going to help us with if we let him. So one of the ways that we do that, and I'm just going to teach you something that you already know. That's the best kind of thing to learn, is something that we already know. But maybe we didn't think about it this way or didn't do it intentionally. A lot of our prayer life, in a particular way, and a lot of our kind of interior life, or even, this is good psychology, as well as good spirituality. A lot of it consists in bringing things together. So, for example, I hope that your experience at church, by and large, we have better and worse days, but I hope that your experience at church is good, that we feel good here, feel loved, feel like we know what's going on, we can enter into worship. If we can really let the world go, let the distractions go, let the concerns go, and enter in here, be carried by the words, by the music, by the prayers, and then maybe even have a little grace to pay attention for a moment or two. You know, I stopped to pray before offering a homily. Sometimes it feels like that's the first time during the Mass that we prayed, which is ridiculous because we've been praying the whole Mass, but sometimes we get just kind of churn a lot. But anyway, if we have that little grace of recollection, sometimes we have a moment in church. Sometimes, you know, on the 173rd time that we've gone to Mass, we go, wow, that's Jesus. Now, you knew that the first 172 times that you went to Mass, but something happens, right? And we just like have those moments. Oh my gosh, that's you, Lord, in the Eucharist. Whoa. And we're just struck. Have that consolation, little spiritual consolation. And then one of the things that Jesus is teaching us to do here is he says, okay, now, you have that moment, now bring it together. And maybe we even have that impulse. Wow, if I could just, I have so much love in my heart at this moment. Who is the hardest person in my life to love? Who's the hardest one? Maybe there's a rift with a family member, with a neighbor, with a colleague, whoever it is. Who's the hardest person in my life to love? I want to just try and love them right now. Let my heart go out to them. I feel like with the grace of this experience at this point, I could love anybody. I could really live the gospel. I could really do what Jesus is asking. That's how we put it together. And we keep putting it together. Maybe you go on the men's group is having a retreat next weekend. Maybe some of you go on that men's retreat and you have a beautiful experience there. You feel close to the Lord. You feel strong in the faith. Think about the hardest point of your faith to live. Think about those times that the temptations come. Think about the people who are difficult to love in those moments. Think about the times that you're frazzled and you don't know what to do. And bring those experiences together in your heart. And that has a way of pouring the grace over into those hard experiences. And the opposite works also. You're in the midst of a terrible, frustrating, difficult time. You're in the midst of a fight. There's a disagreement. Somebody just cut you off, betrayed you, yelled at you. In that moment, try to remember what it's like to be here in church. Try to remember what it's like to be close to Jesus on that retreat. bring those moments together interiorly. And we have a way of opening up those very stressful, difficult moments just to be loved by God, to allow Him to pour that grace into our hearts. That's what He says, back and forth. If you go to the altar, it's a beautiful experience. You're offering your gift, and you remember your brother who has something against you. Leave your gift at the altar, and in a certain sense, leave your heart here. So bring those things together. Go reconcile with your brother, and then come back. So we're bringing that commute back and forth, bringing things together in our hearts, bringing things together in our prayer, from the heights to the depths, so that everything becomes infused with the presence of Jesus. So that I start to become the same inside and outside, here and there. Good all the way through. That's the plan that Jesus has for us. Not to be fragmented, not to be segmented, not to be bifurcated and here and there and everywhere, but to be whole and to be wholly good. So that our yes means yes and our no means no. So that what's inside is the same as what's outside. What's in my heart is what I say. It shows up on my face and nobody has to guess where I am at this moment. Is Dad in a good mood or is he in a bad mood? They just know that Dad is and that he's going to be honest and good. That's what we're striving for, and that's what the Lord wants to do in us. So as we come and place our gifts at the altar, let us be really carried up by the prayer. Let us be encountered and meet the love of Jesus and see the beauty in His face and be filled with that. And then at the same time, bring those difficult areas. Where is it going to be hard to live it? Where is it going to be hard to emanate Jesus, to bring Him to those different places in our life? Let's try and bring it together in this celebration of the Eucharist, that He can really transform not just our presence in church, but that He can really transform our whole lives in this time of worship.